Good morning and welcome to Estrad. It can't be so much better than this. It's Friday and we have an interesting lecture ahead of us. But first, I just want to say a few words about ESPRI, the organization that arranged these lectures. My name is Helen Torgrimsson, and we work with dissemination of research results to a wide audience. The Estrad lecture series is one way of doing this. We have a lot of other activities as well. On our website, you will find a lot of articles and web TV and a lot of other things, all about innovation, entrepreneurship, and small business. Today's lecture will start in a minute, and we will finish at 11:45. At 10:50, something, we will serve advance fika outside. And before we stop, there will be time for questions. Yes. I want to thank our main partners, Tillväxtverket and Vinnova. They make it possible for us to arrange these lectures. And also our media partner, Entrepreneur Magazine. That was all for now. Say welcome to Candy Brush.
Thank you, Helen. It's great to be back in Stockholm. It's been about 3 years since I've been here, and so I'm just delighted to return and enjoy your Christmas season with all the snow and the lights and everything. So today's talk is about being entrepreneurial, and it's going to be different probably from anything that has been done here previously, because I'm not going to just lecture, and you're not going to just listen. You're going to have to do things. And so I have several exercises that you're going to do which will help you to practice being entrepreneurial. And so this is going to be a different kind of session. So as you all know, entrepreneurship is a really popular topic with policymakers and educators and lots of teachers and so forth. And there's countless programs and courses and all sorts of things that teach you about lean startup and business models and venture creation. But starting a business is just one aspect of entrepreneurship. In fact, entrepreneurial activity can take place in a corporation, in a family business, nonprofits, and all sorts of other activities. And so the important thing is the entrepreneurial mindset. It's not just starting a business. So what does it mean to be entrepreneurial? So this is something that I and two colleagues from Babson College have been thinking about. My colleagues Patricia Green and Heidi Neck have been thinking about the entrepreneurial mindset. Now, for those of you who don't know Babson College, just a quick history. I know I have a couple of alums in the audience. We're located 10 miles west of Boston in Massachusetts. The college was founded in 1919 by an entrepreneur. And for more than 20 years, we've been ranked number one in entrepreneurship in the world by US News, Princeton Review, and several other sources. And part of this is because we've been doing entrepreneurship since 1978, before it was actually popular. We had the first center in entrepreneurship, the first academic research conference. We have an academic department of 53 faculty who were entrepreneurs, as well as being academically qualified. And 100% of our 3,500 students take entrepreneurship. It's required. And so one other very important thing is we teach entrepreneurship in an applied fashion. And this goes to the idea of interactive exercises rather than just me lecturing. And so a little bit of a background on what we're going to do today. First of all, my colleagues and I have studied entrepreneurship for more than four decades. My colleague Heidi Neck has taught thousands of educators around the world how to teach entrepreneurship. My colleague Patricia Green has been the lead faculty member for the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses Program and the 10,000 Women's Program. And I've been teaching in the area of entrepreneurship. I've published more than 160 articles and books on entrepreneurship and studied entrepreneurs, worked with thousands of students and entrepreneurs. So we have a lot of background. And what we've learned is that there's a lot of content. If you go to any bookstore, you'll find a book about how to create a business model or how to create lean startup or what you should know about marketing and what you should know about cash flow and all the different things that you need to know to be entrepreneurial. But the actual thinking like an entrepreneur is not something that we teach a lot about or we know a lot about. In fact, when our students come into our office, they don't say, I want to study the qualities of entrepreneurs, or I want to study entrepreneurship. They say, I want to be entrepreneurial. It's about being and doing. And so I have a couple of questions for you. How many of you think you are entrepreneurial? And I'd like to see a show of hands. How many of you would like to be more entrepreneurial? Every hand in the audience, I would think. And so that's the point. So today we're going to practice some activities which can help you think about being entrepreneurial. But because some of this is a new material for Patty, Heidi, and I, we're still sort of working with our ideas. And so one thing that entrepreneurs do is they seek feedback from their potential customer group, and you are essentially our potential customer group. So this is what we call the wisdom of the crowds. And so I'm going to pose a question to you, and I'd like you to answer it. And so I'd like you to take a second, and most of you have a piece of paper, and if not, we have extra paper. I would like you to write down in one sentence or one statement what you think it means to be entrepreneurial. Now, this is the beginning of the class participation part. And if you don't have paper or pen, we will find one for you. You can, of course, do this on your phone if you have a phone with you. Okay, when you have a few words or a sentence written down, I'd like you to talk with your neighbors about what you wrote and then rank the top three words or short sentences that you have in your pairs or trios or short groups there. Thank you. Okay. Okay, thank you. Let's have a quick report out, and let's hear what some of you had to say. And so I'm going to ask a few of the teams to report out. And so we want to hear original thoughts. So if somebody says the thing that you had as your number one, then go to your number two or number three. And so I'm just going to randomly call on people. I'll repeat because I know that it needs to be live streamed. So I'm going to start right here with somebody I know. So Mary Claire, what did your group come up with? This is what we call cold calling.
So we said always learning.
Always learning. I'll repeat it. How about this two, you two in front? What did you come up with?
We thought about like being a fighter.
Being a fighter.
You always say something else.
Okay, I like this. This is good. Let's go to the row back here with the lady with the orange scarf. Yeah, yeah.
Consistency.
Let's see. Does somebody want to volunteer? Yes, okay.
Motivated to bring about change.
Motivated to bring about change. Okay. Anybody else want to volunteer? Yes. Perceived needs and what was the second part? To make money. To make, okay. Okay, anybody else want to volunteer? Yes.
Converting assumptions into facts.
Converting assumptions into facts, okay. Yes.
Passion.
Okay.
Take action.
Take action, yes, we like that. Uh-huh, yes.
Unconventional thinking.
Grit. Any more volunteers? Yes. Focused. Problem solver. Yes. Comfortable in your own skin. Yes. Imagination. Okay. Maybe one more? Anybody else? Seeing opportunities. I thought that might come up. Anything else?
Self-reflection.
Self-reflection. Okay. Well, this is great. You've all been thinking about this. That's wonderful. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about what that means. But first of all, when you talk about being entrepreneurial, one of the things we have to be cognizant of is that it needs to be a verb. Because being is acting and doing. And so a lot of times when we think about nouns or adjectives, that describes something, but when we think about being entrepreneurial, it's about what we're doing. The second thing is that it does involve something about creating something new or innovating, because that is the entrepreneurial way of doing things. And also, it's not so much about who you are, what your characteristics are. It's about what you do and the actions that you take. And the whole notion of being entrepreneurial is that it can be learned. In fact, our definition of entrepreneurial behavior at Babson is identifying or creating opportunities, acquiring resources, and providing leadership to create something of social and/or economic value. And of course, this can be done in any kind of business. It can be done in a family business, a nonprofit, in an initiative. It can be done in any sort of setting. And importantly, this is different from what we call managerial thinking. So entrepreneurial thinking and managerial thinking are two different things. Sorry? Okay. So managerial thinking is really based on strategy. Now, my PhD is in strategy, so I know exactly what that is. And that really is going out and surveying the environment and looking at existing opportunities and doing a lot of research, identifying the resources you need to act, and writing a plan, laying out the tasks, having a meeting, discussing the plan, and then executing. And it's a very predictive, linear approach. And of course, the assumptions for managerial thinking have to do with known inputs, and you have an idea of what the outcomes are going to be. There's some identified steps, a precision approach. It's a bit predictive, and it's tested. But different from that is what we call entrepreneurial thinking. An entrepreneurial approach is a different approach. It's more about acting and then learning. It starts with your individual skills and competencies and who you are, observing and reflecting, like some of you just said, small tests and experiments, bringing others along and practicing. And again, the assumptions are different. The skills and capabilities of the individuals of the skills and capabilities of the individuals are the foundation. The opportunities can be either discovered or created. It's an iterative process. It's means-driven, and you may have unknown inputs. Now, this entrepreneurial thinking approach is rooted in the work of Sarah Sarasvathi, which is about effectuation, a different approach for how serial entrepreneurs create their businesses, and also work that I did with Patty Green and Myra Hart, which looks at how entrepreneurs build resource bases from nothing and how they create competencies in their businesses that allow them to compete in the early stages. So I'd like to tell you a little story that illustrates entrepreneurial thinking or being entrepreneurial. And so this is one of our former students. Her name is Sarah Gragnolati. And Sarah was diagnosed with a food allergy. She was allergic to gluten, which means wheat allergy. And so this meant she had to really change her diet. And she had a lot of trouble finding gluten-free foods to eat, especially breakfast foods. And so she spent a lot of time reading labels and going to health food stores. And then she learned that millions of people had this same problem. And it was a serious health problem that had no real good solution. And she was really passionate about trying to find a solution. And so Sarah imagined a healthy breakfast food that actually tasted good. And she thought, what if there was a gluten-free food that could be easily heated up for breakfast with blueberries and ancient grains, and it was really tasty? What if she created her own company to make these products? So even though she was in our MBA program and had hoped to get a job in marketing, she started making time in her schedule to visit local health food stores and do some research and talk with people who were in the foods industry to learn about what the options were in the market. Now, as a student, she didn't have a lot of discretionary income, but she saved some to buy gluten-free products when she found them. So she created time in her schedule to spend time researching what was going on and visit these health food stores. And then in her first semester, she decided to enter a pitch event. We have an event called Rocket Pitch, where entrepreneurs give three-minute pitches with three slides. And there's no questions and follow-up, but it's totally a pitch event. And so in this pitch event, even though she had not launched a company, she acted as if she had a company and a business and talked about her concept and what she might do. And so she got some feedback from students and others, and she then started putting together some prototypes or some samples of what she thought a cold, gluten-free breakfast food might taste like. So she was experimenting and testing, and her first samples weren't very good, but that was okay. She got feedback. And she engaged a fellow student to help her with her concept. And then finally, she found through the Babson Network a manufacturer who could help to produce the product. And then she started developing a network and connections in the food industry who could help her with her business. So the steps she took were steps that could help her be entrepreneurial. She took action to move her concept forward. And so, like Sarah, we've identified six steps that we think people can practice to be more entrepreneurial. Now, I'll talk a little bit about each one of these, and then we're going to practice an exercise in each of these steps as we go through the rest of the morning. And so the overview of the first steps, the first step is to think about your why. In other words, reflect on who you are and what's important to you. Most of us have sets of competencies. We have degrees, and we have education, and we have talents, and we have skills. So we have a lot of human capital and stocks of human capital and talents. But sometimes we don't think about what's important to us and what we really care about. Now, in Sarah's case, she cared about finding a solution to the gluten-free breakfast cereal problem. The second step is to imagine, to envision what a possible solution might be. And in Sarah's case, she asked herself, what if there were a gluten-free breakfast product that actually tasted good. The third step is to prep. And this means to set aside time and space to pursue your entrepreneurial endeavors. The fourth step is to act as if, which means you are assuming the role to move forward to be entrepreneurial. And in Sarah's case, she did a rocket pitch and acted as if the business had already been started when it was still just a concept. The fifth step is to experiment and to make small tests of hypotheses on a small budget. And so she tested samples of the recipe, samples of the consistency, the packaging, and she got feedback, early feedback on her business idea, kind of like I did this morning. And then she started connecting deeply with others and engaging others. And Sarah used her network to engage students to help her to volunteer with her and used every opportunity to talk about her business. Now, behind these steps is the notion of learning theory. So we know from Bloom's typology of learning and other educational practices that when we do something and we construct something and we invent something, we learn more than if we just watch and try to remember or read about it. And so that's part of the theory for what we're going to be doing today, because you're enacting something, you're trying something, and you're taking steps to move forward. Are you ready? Because we're going to do some exercises. And so the first step is to discover your why. So as I said, you all have lots of talents, and you have lots of things that you're really good at. But how often do you think about what you really care about? What gives you joy? What conversations really set you on fire? And how often do we really think about that? Now, if you remember Sarah, she really cared about gluten-free food products. And she was passionate about it because she had a food allergy. Now, for me, I love to write. So writing is one of the reasons I got a PhD, because I find it a creative process. I also love to cook, but I never follow the recipe. I like to put things together in new combinations. I love to make soups. And I also love to play golf. And you might think golf is not a creative process, but when you have your ball land in places like my golf ball does, it's very much of a creative process, because I'm in the water, I'm in the grass, So I care about these things because they're creative, and I like to do things that involve a creative process, and that's one of my whys. That's what really matters to me. And so when I think about activities I'd like to get engaged with, I like to do things that have a creative piece. And so I would like you to take a second and write down something that you deeply care about. What sets you on fire? What makes your heart beat? What kinds of activities do you get lost in? We talk about getting lost in the flow. When do you get lost and forget what time it is? So what are the kinds of things that really matter to you? And I'll just give you a few minutes to think about this. So the next time that you're involved in a new initiative or opportunity, you might ask why you care about this particular initiative or opportunity, and does that match what you care about? Or when you think about your current job or role, what are the things that really matter to you? Or you think about how this new initiative that you might be involved in connects to your why. Now, another exercise that you can use, and I've used this, I had an executive coach help me. I moved from being department chair of supervising entrepreneurship faculty into the vice provost role. And as I was moving and making that transition, she asked me to do an exercise, which was much like this, is to take a week and think about the conversations and activities that I was engaged in and ask which engaged me and which did not. And so this process of having an awareness and noticing on a daily basis what matters to you can really help you discover your why. And you need to know your why if you're going to be entrepreneurial. It has to matter to you. And so let me tell you another short story. And so one of our other Babson graduates, his name is Danny Dallet. And Danny's from the Dominican Republic. And he graduated from Babson and worked as a hedge fund manager. And he had everything in the world that he wanted, a nice house, good hours, nice family. He was doing very well financially. But as he went to work, he started really listening to the conversations and thinking about what it was that he was doing. He was talking about investing in companies and selling short and financial analysis and making lots of money. But he asked himself, am I really engaged by what's going on or am I distracted? And he found that he was a little bit distracted. He kept thinking about whether he was really doing something that mattered for his country and mattered for what he cared about. And he felt that his work didn't have a lot of personal meaning. He kind of lost his why. And so in other words, the why of his current job didn't excite him anymore. So he decided to leave the hedge fund organization and launch a new 100% virgin coconut oil manufacturing company from one extreme to the other. And so he spent 2 years learning the process of making coconut oil, how to cold press it, how do you test it for purity. And it's taken him 5 years, but he's now the largest producer of coconut oil in the Americas. The company's vertically integrated. It's free trade, fair trade, organic, and employs 85% single women with children. So Danny's why and what he cared about was producing a quality food product that made a difference and employed local workers and also exported a finished good from the Dominican Republic rather than raw materials. So the first step in being entrepreneurial is to know your why. Know what matters to you. And this is important. Research by Melissa Carden and others talks about the importance of entrepreneurial passion. Well, your passion is connected to your why, what matters to you. So that is the first step. The second step is to imagine. Now, whatever your endeavor, you need to imagine a concept, to envision. And this is a skill that you can practice. Just like Sarah envisioned a new gluten-free breakfast food that tasted good. So I have three daughters. My oldest daughter was a college gymnast. And as you may know, gymnastics is a kind of scary sport because on the balance beam, you're standing on a 4-inch wide a piece of equipment that's 4 feet off the ground and you're doing lots of handsprings. So before every gymnastics competition, her name's Julie, she used to imagine the perfect beam routine, the perfect flight series, you know, connected handsprings. And she would close her eyes and imagine the audience and imagine the perfect beam routine. And so this practice of envisioning really gave her confidence in what she was doing. And even for this talk, I tried to imagine who you would be, what the audience would look like, what I would say, where I would stand, and what would happen. So you practice envisioning. And so this is a skill that you can practice, and it helps you to be more entrepreneurial. So I have a little exercise for you. How many uses can you imagine for a soda bottle? Now, it's intended to carry liquid in it, right? Yeah, how would you modify it? What would you do with it? The cap? Different types of caps? What else could you use it for? You could put a plant in it. Or catch a tennis ball. Boat mooring, yes. Air conditioning, what else?
Shower.
Shower, yeah, you put holes in it, right? Toys, exactly. You can make a fleece out of it if you, you know, you can bail a boat with it. You can do lots of things, right? And so I have a short video that I'm going to show you, which will give you another example of what you can do with a soda bottle. And this is part of imagining what the possibilities are. Oops, no, it's not, it says it's, maybe I'm not going to show it to you because I'm not online. Okay. All right, I'm not going to show it to you because it doesn't seem to want to work here. But this is actually a little video that talks about in the Philippines how they've taken soda bottles and created light that allows solar heating devices that allows the light to come into the houses, heat the soda bottle, and create light in their houses. And so it's a very different kind of use of a soda bottle. And so the point is that you need to imagine and envision. This is a step in being entrepreneurial, and you need to practice it. So the third step is what we call to prep. And to prep is by making time to assemble the resources that you need to put towards your entrepreneurial activities. So in Sarah's case, she created time in her business school schedule to visit health food stores and allocated some funding to buy different products. So she took her time and money. And so let's give you a little exercise on how you might think about prepping to be entrepreneurial. So I would like you to think about your to-do list for tomorrow. Bless you. We all have to-do lists, right? They never you never finish them, right? So what's the first thing on your list, right? What did you think about? What'd you say? That is Saturday. And that's a good thing. Play games with friends. Networking. Movie theater. So your Christmas curtain, yeah, it's that season, right? And so if you think about and review the tasks on your to-do list, the question is there entrepreneurial time on your list? Did you put down a time to do something entrepreneurial, to be entrepreneurial, to think about your why, to think about imagining? And so you need to add entrepreneurial activities to your list, whatever those might be. So if you're going to be entrepreneurial, you need to put time and resources into enacting that activity. And so my friend Patty Green always says, put dessert first. Allow time to think about the work you want to do on your entrepreneurial activities. And so again, this is important because to be entrepreneurial, you need to have time to actually apply your apply resources to your entrepreneurial activities. And this is the concept of affordable loss. In other words, when you are starting something entrepreneurial, you think about what resources you can apply to that activity. And so prepping is a very important part of being entrepreneurial. Another part of being entrepreneurial is acting as if. And this is the notion of starting to make your idea a reality by taking ownership of that idea and actually doing something with it. Entrepreneurs in nascent stages actually act as if. They're sort of pretending. Now, this comes out of the work in psychology. Well, actually, it started with philosopher William James, who created the act as if principle. And more recently, psychologist Richard Wiseman's work, which means that if you want a quality or characteristic, you act as if you already have it. So in Sarah's case, what she did is she decided to pitch her concept, and she developed a scenario of a concept for a gluten-free venture, identified herself as a founder, and acted as if, even though she had not really founded the business. Now, some of you might be familiar with Amy Cuddy's work, who talks about power posing. If you adopt a power pose, you start to develop more feelings of power and confidence. And then, of course, other work in psychology suggests that if you smile, you will actually feel happier if you practice this. And so this is the concept of acting as if. And so when we were children, we pretended to be other characters. I pretended to be a cowgirl. I don't know if you pretended to be Superman or Spider-Man or Pippi Longstocking, but we tried on these identities and we pretended, we acted as if. And we learned something from that acting as if experience because we tried out different constructions of what might happen if we were acting, if we had become those people and took ownership of those identities. And so if we got older, many of us sort of abandon our acting as if, our trying out different characters, because social norms and social roles don't really like us becoming cowgirls or Pippi Longstocking when we go to work. And so in the mid-1950s, there was a very flamboyant, unknown American pianist. And he had lots of dreams of performing in the Hollywood Bowl before a huge audience. So he gathered some money and he rented the Hollywood Bowl on an off night. He showed up in a tuxedo and he played a full concert on a grand piano to absolutely no audience at all. Except that the hall was empty, he lived his dream. And then he kept building on that dream until 4 years later to the night, Liberace performed at the Hollywood Bowl before a capacity standing room only crowd and became a well-known pianist. So what he did is he acted as if. He tried on that identity of being a concert pianist and practiced that. Now, there's a big caveat here too, because if you're going to act as if, you need to be authentic. Acting as if you're an entrepreneur doesn't mean you should mimic all the people that go on Shark Tank, because that may not be the appropriate behavior. You have to act as if in a way that's connected to your why, in a way that's connected to your passion, and live your role as an entrepreneur. You internalize that notion of being entrepreneurial. So let's practice something. I'd like you all to stand up. And you can stretch. When I say go, I would like you to introduce yourself to the person standing next to you. Ready? Go. Okay. I'd like you to sit down. Okay, what did you say? How many of you said your name? How many of you said your affiliation, your company? How many of you gave a title and said, I am, and what your role is? A few. How many of you said what you were an expert at or what you were good at? How many of you used the word entrepreneurial in your introduction? 1, 2, 3. So if you're going to be entrepreneurial, you have to own that entrepreneurial identity. Hello, I'm an entrepreneurial thinker. I'm an entrepreneur rather than I'm a student, I'm self-employed, I'm a small business owner executive. If you're going to act as if, you have to own entrepreneurial as part of your identity. So practice being an entrepreneur. You're becoming your new self. You're acting as if. You're becoming emotionally and physically engaged in being entrepreneurial. And so acting as if gives you the opportunity to enact new outcomes, create a new story and identity. And there's more work by Daryl Bem, who's a psychologist, that talks about that. So play the character that you want to be. Own your own identity. Rehearse, enact, practice, and act as if. And I think we're just about, were you just going to give me the signal? See, I told her to give me a signal when we were about 10 of to take a little coffee break. So now you can go practice introducing again, and you're all going to use the word entrepreneurial in your introductions, and we'll come back in about 10 or 15 minutes. Okay. Thank you, you've done a great job so far.